This Heidi, Xavier and Ryan catch up is for the epic new Optus prepaid plans.
The Heidi, Xavier and Ryan catch up on Hits 92.9. In this catch-up,
superstar coach from the West Coast Eagles, Adam Simpson.
The Heidi, Xavier and Ryan catch-up on Hit 92.9 with Heidi Anderson, Xavier Ellis and Ryan John.
Let's talk about the Royals.
No.
Hey, I gave it at least 2 weeks break. Skipped what? Over some stories of Meghan and Harry in the meantime.
We need to put some rules in concrete, Ryan.
As in what? Yeah, as a quota?
It's a quota. It's like the Kardashians. There's a quota.
Yeah. Well, the Kardashians are in this as well.
Oh, brilliant.
Believe it or not.
Brilliant.
All right, and we'll throw in some Bitcoin and just all the great topics.
No, I want to talk about... look, I obviously want to speak about this so then I can hear from the people of Perth.
Okay.
That's how we roll.
So we're diving into the Royals and then ducking out of the Royals.
So Princess Meghan and Harry, it's come out that she's kind of a little bit edgy with the way that she's dressing for royal protocol. Now, I've heard this morning that this is because Harry styles her. So he gives
Harry
her...
Harry styles. I just got it.
But, you know, her partner.
Yeah, Harry, Prince Harry. Not, yep.
Yeah, no, we got famous, it, mate.
Yeah. Okay, just for those playing at home that really thought it was Harry Styles. So Harry styles her and helps her when she chooses her outfits and stuff, and which is very much Kim and Kanye. Did you know Kanye styles Kim Kardashian all of the Kardashians? Like the whole reason why their fashion has changed is because of him.
For the better or?
Oh, my God, so much better. Like they're kind of sports luxe, which is what I love.
Okay.
Which is like.
How would you define
little,
sports luxe?
Sports luxe is like tracksuit pants with high heels.
Oh.
You know, like dresses with joggers.
Zave, is that probably your favourite as well?
Or? It's got me whooshed.
I love it. Anyway, this is what I want to go for here because I am fascinated by the fact that these men style their female partners.
Yep.
Now, I know we're in 2018, so anything can happen. And, you know, I want to know on 131060 if there is any female out there that will call in and go, yep, you know what, my partner, Roger.
I was going to say Roger.
Shut up. We're in sync today, Xavier. If Roger or your partner styles you. So
does this include buying or is it more like in the morning you go, oh, no, I'll put that with that and that
yes,
with that.
Yes, that. Right. I mean, if they're buying as well, I think they obviously have great taste. Or if you're a bloke, if you're willing to admit it. Now, Ryan, you spoke earlier this week about Bridge and how she'd stolen your tracksuit pants.
Yeah, and it's rife in our house. And it turned out after we talked about that, rife right across Perth is that the ladies are stealing the men's clothes. But it's usually not because of a style
thing,
I wouldn't have thought.
Does she ever style you or choose your clothes and come home with like bags of shopping for you and put you in it?
No, but when I wore this shirt the other day.
Shirt?
Yeah, I can't wear this at home. I only can wear it at work because if I wear it at home, it's just like, nope, you can't wear that, Ryan. You look like a thief. You look like the Hamburglar from, is it the Hamburglar from McDonald's, that old guy?
Yeah.
And then she got a red handkerchief and then put a hat on me and said, now you look like an idiot Frenchman. So that's why I wear this shirt at work
right,
and not at home because she will, it's not what you should wear, but it's what you, there's a few
now,
crosses through
so
a few
she's
items.
Giving you feedback. I think feedback is fine, but I want to hear from people that like they're, I guess, like I'm pretty much pointing at the men here.
Yeah.
Like, do you choose and style your female partner?
Did Griffo recommend that leopard skin off the shoulder
God, no.
number?
I don't even know what size he is. He wouldn't know what size I am.
Yeah,
like,
right.
we don't
but
even
the
put
the style
each
of this in particular, this little ensemble we got going on here?
That was me.
Showing a little arm, mate.
Showing a bit of skin today, guys.
Look
getting
out.
The shoulders out. 131060, does your partner style you?
All right, we'll take your calls up next.
Catch up with Heidi, Xavier and Ryan on the Hit app. Download it today.
Let's go to Como. Kate, are you being styled or are you the stylist?
No, I'm being styled.
Oh, tell us. So tell us about your partner.
Well, I actually think he's got quite bad style because he just wears his thongs everywhere, but he's quite good at the accessories in terms of telling me what sunglasses to wear or boots to wear with my jeans or a jacket, or if I'm going to leave the house, he'll say, no, not good enough, and wear this or that.
He tells you not good enough. I love it.
Do you find it nice that he takes an interest, or are you a bit like, look in the mirror before you start dishing out some fashion advice, bro?
Well, a little bit of both, but I find myself quite conservative with my own dress, so it actually is kind of quite nice.
And what's his name, Kate?
Bronson.
And what job does he do?
Pardon?
What job does he do?
He's FIFO.
All right. I was just trying to set the scene. So, Bronson. You know, he's a tradesman
yeah.
Or an engineer.
Yeah,
he's not a flight attendant.
Tradie. Not a flight attendant.
Because they are technically FIFO, and I mean most flight attendants who are dudes look like a Bronson.
But you don't have to be, you don't have to be gay to be like fashionable.
Absolutely not. Have a look at me.
Yeah.
Straight as an arrow.
Exactly. And you're very fashionable, Xavier Ellis.
Let's go to Steve. Mate, are you doing the styling?
You could say that.
Okay, tell us, Steve.
Well,
you've got a partner.
Well, whenever my wife goes out, generally she'll come to me and say, what do you think's better, this or this or this? So I'm sort of like, yeah, maybe go with option A. And then 9 times out of 10, she's a little bit indecisive and she'll go with option B anyway.
Yes. sounds like most girls, like we always go with what, you know, we ask for advice but go with the opposite.
Well, I was going to say, Hydes, is that genuinely asking for an honest answer? Is it more of like a fishing for a compliment or looking for, you know,
look,
confirmation?
For me, it's more a compliment that I'm searching for.
You look great today, by the way, mate.
Well, thank you.
Let's go to Amy. Are you doing the styling or are you being styled?
I'm being somewhat constricted in my styling.
Oh!
Constricted! Talk to us.
So it's not necessarily like going out clothes, but I feel like at home, if I want to wear my unicorn stuff, I should be allowed to. And this includes my unicorn onesie, which also has a tail and wings.
Yes.
And I have slippers that are just like, they're out at Kmart at the moment. They also have wings on them.
You be you, Amy. And, you be you.
Yeah, do and you, Ames.
I have a headband with a horn, and so does my dog, so we can be matching unicorns.
Oh, my gosh. And your partner.
My boyfriend. No, he's like, this is rubbish. You can't do this. And he'll hide this stuff from me.
Why don't you get him a matching onesie?
I've got him like a teddy bear one, and he said it's ridiculous, but it's because he's like 6'8", so he looks like Chewbacca.
Now, Amy, I've just pulled out a card of affirmation for your daily positivity. Is it
positivity, you know.
So, yeah.
This is, you can say this to yourself over and over again.
Yeah, would you like
today?
Me to read it to you, Ames?
Yeah, I would.
Amy, I want you to express yourself in positive ways. Everything I do is by choice. I can choose what to do and what to think. You wear that unicorn suit, Ames.
I'm going to wear it to work, I swear.
Catch up with Heidi, Xavier and Ryan on the Hit app. Download it today.
Right now, do you want to introduce our next guest here, Xavier?
We're joined by the West Coast Eagles head coach, Adam Simpson.
Welcome, Simo.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Hello, Simo. It's good to have you on the show, mate.
Thanks for having me.
Now, mate, you head to Sydney this weekend. Unfortunately, the only loss for West Coast this year was round one to Sydney. And you and I both know, Buddy Franklin kicked 8 goals, mate. What's the plan this weekend?
I don't know. You got any ideas?
What are you thinking, Ellis?
Close your eyes and hope he has a bad night. He's pretty good.
I can't stick you in front of him 10 metres anymore. So, obviously round one was a long time ago, but he's been a pretty good player for a while now. And we couldn't stop him on that night. And I thought we still played okay that day, but we just couldn't stop his talent. And everything we tried didn't work, so we'll have a different side this week. They'll be slightly different as well, but he's still bloody hard to stop, so trying to stop him starting well is probably the first thing.
Now, how do you keep everyone, all the players and just people around the club, maybe sort of settled and focused, Simo? Because we've had people calling our show for the last few months saying, I've already booked my tickets to the grand final, I'm booking flights. Like, I mean, obviously you're...
Well, I have.
Yeah, Xavier.
Well, you told me the other day you weren't coming to the wedding because you had a baby on the way, not that you were going to the grand final.
Yeah, we'll get the baby out of the way first.
But Simo, it sort of must be a tricky balance of trying to appreciate your good work, but also keeping a lid on it.
Yeah, look, we tend to... ride the wave at West Coast pretty heavily. Like when it's not going great, where we need to rebuild, and when we win a few games, we're going to win the flag. So trying to find the balance in the middle is always our goal. Look, to be honest, I think we've matured a little bit last few years just on how to handle all that, and it feels a little bit different than probably times before when we got on a bit of a roll. I don't think the guys are as they're just more role driven, I suppose, and it's pretty boring, actually, when you think about it. We don't change too much during the week at the moment. It's a pretty good space the boys are in.
How do you manage the guys and what goes on in the media? Like, I know there's a lot around Gov this year, and is he going to stay on it, re-sign at West Coast? I mean, he's on our show all the time. We love Gov. Right. Big fans. You know, and also yourself, you hear stories. Like, Perth is a small place. How do you kind of manage that, or do you guys just shut it all out? Do you address it in meetings and stuff, or no?
Well, you try to have some media messaging and how we want to carry ourselves. We meet with the ladies every week and just talk a little bit how we want to project ourselves. But
yeah.
I think it's all part of the job, I suppose. Mm. And we educate our young players that come to the club on how to handle things. And I think the public still want to hear the personalities. And
yeah.
The governor's certainly one of those. So I'm sure he's having a difficult year trying to entertain and be who he is and actually try and talk some serious talk with his contract as well. I'm assuming that balance is hard to find on your show, but he's trying
what
to...
What do you mean?
Now, so
not a criticism of you guys. It's, I just know what Gov's like.
No, I'm only joking.
Now, mate, let's talk about Monday, the MND game at the MCG. You were dressed up looking $1 million, mate.
What was he dressed as again? I've forgotten.
Chad Michael Michaels.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He had the wig on and everything.
Yeah, to get all 18 coaches, Simo, to do such a wonderful thing, and you were lucky enough to spend time with Neil Danaher. How does that play out that all 18 end up at the MCG for such a good cause?
Yeah, it was really easy. We meet with the coaches, meet once a year. We meet pre-season for AGM with the Coaches Association with Mark Brayshaw, and it was brought up there, and it was an immediate commitment by everyone, and it's really not that hard, I suppose, to do something for Neil and his cause. I think we all know about it and the way he's approached it all and how selfless he is. So that was the easy part. The hard part was getting the right costume, because
who might have
overstepped the mark. I asked for some suggestions, and the coaches have got a bit of a WhatsApp group, and with about 10 photos of Chaz popped up on it. And I didn't know he was a sex tornado, though. But, something I learned after it. But it was pretty funny, I suppose. We did just try to entertain. And,
it's good, yeah,
it was
exactly.
Great. It looked really great. And it raised sort of $4 to $5 million just in the couple of hours that the game was on. So it was incredible.
Yeah,
but Simo, I want to ask you about the recruit of one Xavier Alice from Hawthorn to the West Coast Eagles. For people that don't know, you were an assistant coach at Hawthorn before you were the head coach of the Eagles. So you did know,
yep.
Zave. Now, how did he pitch you? Did he say, my legs are better, the back's fine, I've never felt healthy, I've got 200 games left in me, probably a Brownlow chance. Did you feel like you were sold a lemon?
Look, it was a bit of a love job, really. You know, it was one of those free hits that you hand out. And, you know, it's probably the one of the very few men that gets a contract for just being a good bloke. That's what he's done. Now he's forged a career doing that. But no, it obviously was a very talented player without blowing too much smoke. But he's just injury prone, the poor bugger. And getting you over and getting... How many games did we get, mate?
34 brilliant ones, mate.
34 games. Okay. So probably about 8 good ones.
Yeah, 3 years, Ellis.
Now, mate, last one from me, Simo. I'm heading over to Melbourne for a premiership reunion this weekend. You've obviously been involved in a couple. What advice can you give to a young bloke who's heading into his first reunion?
Well, all you do is tell the same stories you told 10 years ago, so, and every story's been embellished a little bit. So you're pretty good at that,
I'm
mate.
Good at that.
You're the top five that I've ever met at those stories. So
yeah. He gets paid for it now.
I was going to say, Zave doesn't need any more encouragement telling the same stories over and over, because 6 to 9 weekdays on Hit 92.9 covers that pretty well. Simo, thank you so much for your time. We know you're a very busy man.
It.
And just on behalf of Perth, everyone's real pumped and real proud of how the Eagles are going this year, mate. So keep up the good work, and thanks for your time this morning.
Good on you guys. Appreciate your support.
Thanks, legend. Thanks, mate. Bye.
Catch up with Heidi, Xavier and Ryan on the Hit app. Download it today.
Do you keep your friends close, but your enemies closer?
Dun, dun, dun. Like Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un. That's the theory behind it. Well, mine anyway. I'm sure a few people are on the same bandwagon as me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, some of us would have liked Kim Jong-un to rip Donald Trump's hairpiece off.
I would have probably rather Donald do some things to Kim to be honest with you.
Well, no, just for a bit of a lol.
I would rather Donald roll Kim.
Roll him.
Because he's a bit like a circle, isn't he?
Save, if you say those words in the wrong...
Are you fat-shaming Kim Jong-un?
Yep.
Well, apparently he did break his ankles once because he ate too much cheese. That was a story that came out in North Korea.
Really?
So there you have it. But there's lots of interesting stories coming in right now.
Rebecca, are you keeping an enemy close?
Not anymore. I was the actual victim. I thought this friend that was my best friend's sister-in-law was a close mate, and she was really friendly and, you know, she'd talk to me when I'm down and stuff like that. And then I found out that she was making stuff up behind my back and hoping that me and my relationship would fail because that my ex-fiance was better than, could do better than me when you know, we're not together anymore. But,
so they were kind of trying to tarnish your image.
Yeah.
What a nasty pasty.
A nasty pasty. Right.
Unbelievable that like...
It's a new one, Zabe. It
seems... No, that's what I call people that sledge me. Nasty pasty.
Oh, when they fat shame you.
Yeah, nasty pasty.
Shanae, what's going on with you?
So I was actually being cheated on by my ex-partner, and he was married previous to our relationship, and I did not like his wife at all, and she didn't like me. But after I found out that my ex was cheating on me, she actually messaged me and asked if I was okay. And I said, yeah, all good and stuff. We didn't like each other still, but we kept close because we both hated the new girlfriend.
Oh my God. So you kept your enemy very close. Are you girls having nail dates together now, or coffee dates?
Well, I actually moved back from the Northern Territory after I found out, so we just speak online all the time and, yeah.
Oh.
Would you still consider her an enemy, or is it, have you kind of moved past that
friend
to just
territory.
Having something in common now?
No, I think that we've kind of moved on now that I'm no longer with him.
It's funny that sometimes, like, a bloke or a female, whatever, they can bring people that actually hate each other
Isn't
together.
A theory that there's nothing that binds people together by having a common enemy? Is that a saying or something?
Yeah, well, a common interest of disliking someone.
Disliking the husband. Thank you very much for that. Let's finish up in Northbridge. Nikki, are you an enemy or are you befriending an enemy?
Well, I don't know which way around you see this, but I was dating a guy in England and we bought a house together, and then I found out that all three good friends are actually sleeping with him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
And they were being friends with you and chatting with you and coming around to the house.
They were being friends with me. We would go for dinner and they would be texting each other across the table. I found this out later on.
What?
They would text each other across the table and he wrote her a poem and I found all this random stuff, and then one of them broke and rang me and told me. Yeah.
So at dinner, he was having entree, main, and dessert.
Yeah. It's an old...
Basically.
It sounds like an old-fashioned game of pass the parcel.
It was disgusting. So I found out and actually physically kicked him out of the house.
Yeah. Yep.
Well,
you
actually kicked him.
Kicked him?
Sorry?
You physically kicked him in the bottom?
I physically kicked him out of the house.
Yeah, good on you, Nikki.
Good on you, Nikki. Thanks for calling. Some unbelievable
stories. You do just kind of want to know whether that really happens, don't you, if someone cheats on you? Do you throw all the clothes out the window, like physically kick their bottom?
Well, Zave, how many times have you said, get all your stuff? You got 24 hours.
M's got 24 hours, and then it goes to the Selvos.
Catch up with Heidi, Xavier and Ryan on the Hitter. Download it today. Much like Xavier Ellis, our next guest was born in country New South Wales. That's what I'm
talking about. My name is Shane Crawford. I grew up in a little country town called Finlay.
That's what I'm talking about.
And they both played for Hawthorn. Please welcome AFL legend Shane Crawford.
Yes, Shane, welcome to the show. Ahead of the AFL footy show that's on tonight and ahead of the 10-year reunion of the Hawthorn 2008 premiership you played in with Xavier Ellis. Thanks for joining us.
No worries.
Now, Crawf, is there any kind of group text going around at the moment of, like, who to watch out for this weekend or who to steer clear of at the reunion?
No, I did have a meeting with the footy club and they said, listen, there's a couple of guys we're worried about. Xavier is pretty much the only one who they're really concerned with moving forward about, you know, maybe embarrassing, you know, the 2000 not coming across the right way. But I've assured them that, no, things have changed. He's got a bub on the way. Everything's happening. Life's going good. He'll be very, very well behaved.
Now, Shane, for those who remember your fine escapades back in the day, you were a bit of a clown and good fun, mate. How old are you these days, and what can we expect from you at a reunion?
I'm 43. Can you believe that?
Oh, jeez. Mate, you're getting on.
Why?
Still look 33, mate.
Well, I know, it's amazing. That Botox and that moisturising cream that you got me under.
Someone's been buying some ingredients from realheidi.com at his house. Now, so, Shane, I was curious to know, mate, we were talking off air before, not many people are in a position like you to answer this question, but if you were to choose between a career where you only won a Brownlow medal or a career where you just won the Premiership medal, what means more to you now looking back on your career?
Oh, you cannot beat a Premiership. There's no doubt about that. It's just teamwork, and that's what footy's... The great thing about footy is you're not actually playing on a Saturday. It's actually the build-up and training with your teammates. You get to have a chat. You get to interact and have a good time and train really hard, and that's what it's all about, you know, just that bonding that you have. So definitely Premiership. I don't even know where my Brownlow is, to be honest.
Well, I was going to say, I reckon that's why you stayed around half the time, Zaves, not even to play football, mate. You just always talked about when he started work here, I just miss the coffee dates with the boys.
Yeah, the team bonding stuff, I think, was the best part. And 15 minutes after having a win. But, I enjoyed the socialising side of
it. It's the country boy in you, you know, coming from down the bush. That's the way it's done down there, where everyone plays hard and then they come off the field and they have a few drinks and all get along. Even the umpires get involved as well. So,
they get involved over at West Coast too, mate. Don't worry about that.
All right, we want to know on 13 10 60, we want to hear your reunion stories, because Xavier and Shane and the rest of the 2008 Premiership side are meeting up this weekend. Hopefully Zave makes it back over here to Perth for the radio show next week. But 13 10 60 is the number. And Shane Crawford, always a pleasure to chat, mate. The AFL Footy Show is back on tonight at 8:30 on Channel 9. Appreciate your time this morning.
Keep up the good work. See you, mate.
Thanks, Wayne.
See you, mate.
Catch up with Heidi, Xavier and Ryan on the Hit app. Download it today.
Do you mind if I ask? The segment where we ask all those questions you've always wanted to ask of someone but never had the guts.
Hi, my name's Nick. I'm an alcoholic and I don't mind if you ask.
Do you mind if I ask?
What's the first sign that someone's got a problem?
Yeah, look, I guess it sort of happened over time. You know, I started drinking on my own and I couldn't just have one or two to keep up with everyone else. Had to be three or four and more. So the alcohol for me, it sort of started to take over my life. They say, you know, if it costs you more than money, you start realizing that there's an issue. You know, and people started mentioning it to me, you know, you're drinking too much. So I started hiding the drinks, you know, and sneaking a few here and there and just to keep up with the buzz.
Where did you hide them? Anywhere and everywhere?
Yeah, in the roof, in cupboards. Yeah,
so physically you're hiding the drink, but also would just sneak out the back at a party and have an extra bit or something? Or
yeah, well, I mean, towards the end, I'd have a, you know, a bottle of vodka or something, and I'd keep it up in the roof or fill up a little bottle and keep it in the bathroom. And, you know, so when I go have a shower and then open up the cupboard and quickly have a nip. You know, it was just taking over my life. It was just crazy.
So for me, I really do enjoy a beer, but I don't particularly like the spirits. For some reason, I picture alcoholics move from beer to the heavy spirit sort of stuff. What sort of alcohol were you dabbling in mostly?
Yeah, beer was my thing. So I sort of kidded myself. Like, I'd say, look, well, you know, my wife would go to work. I'd go and, you know, because I'm working mining, so, you know, when I'm in Perth, I'm not working. My wife would go to work. I would just go to the shops. I said, I'll just get a six-pack for today. And then after a six-pack, about 10 o'clock, I'll go back and get another one. And then I remember the guy at the bottle, he goes, you know, it's cheaper to buy a carton. Mm. And blah, 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 I can't hide a carton.
Yeah.
A six-pack. Yeah, right.
Did you feel shame around what you were doing or embarrassment or?
Yeah, I felt that if I drank, I would feel better. You know, more comfortable with society and able to deal with situations. Unfortunately, that, you know, situations and society is 24 hours a day and you can't get away from that. So, you know, you just you're kidding yourself to think you can drink to sort of hide those emotions. You know, and it gets to the point where you drink so much, you lose your emotions.
Mm.
You forget what happiness is actually like and scared and timid and all that sort of stuff. It's and they're natural emotions you need to feel.
Yeah, yeah. So true.
What's the worst thing or the worst place that booze has taken you to?
Amsterdam was an interesting place.
Oh, yeah, I've done Amsterdam too. But in terms of like, did you find yourself in a gutter somewhere or did you get in a fight or?
Yeah, look, I've been in the gutter doing drugs, you know, and you know, I started taking, you know, meth and stuff like that to sort of sober up from alcohol.
Okay.
You know, so it led to other things as well. And then I started to go to, I got taken to an AA meeting and I just met everyone, like just like-minded people. They were telling the same stories I had, the most genuine, nicest people, you know, like it's just, you think about AA and you think about, you know, people in a gutter and things like that. It's not like that. It's just like, it's just like us standing here talking, just normal.
Did you have to stand up and say, hi, my name's Nick and this is my first day in AA? Or is it like the movies or?
No, you don't have to stand up.
Did you, did you have to tell a story or anything? Or was it just like, okay, I'm here, I'm open to anything?
Well, first of all, the most genuine, honest people you could meet, because, you know, nobody judges you. You know, everyone's on their own journey.
Yeah.
And, you know, they take your name down. And if it's if you want to have a talk, you know, there's someone that chairs the meeting. If you want to talk, you can talk. And so they'll call your name out. And you say, hi, my name is Nick and I'm an alcoholic. And you just talk for however long you want to talk for.
Yeah.
You know, 5-10 minutes. So you just go, no, I don't want to talk today. And nobody interrupts you. Nobody can challenge you. No one. You just say what you want to say and then they'll just move on to the next person.
We are chatting to Nick, who is a recovering alcoholic for Do You Mind If I Ask This Week. And up next, what happens when there's a relapse?
Catch up with Heidi, Xavier and Ryan on The Hitter. Download it today.
Hi, my name's Nick. I'm an alcoholic and I don't mind if you ask.
Do you mind if I ask?
Have you relapsed in your, so you've been 5 years sober, have you relapsed in that time?
I have, yeah.
Can you talk us through that time and I guess like what happened and where you, you know, because I'm sure a few people relapse, don't they?
Yeah, it is common because it is such a struggle, you know. For me, I stopped going to meetings. Life sort of took over, doing renovations at home and, you know, got a child and all this sort of stuff. And you know, I put life before my sobriety. After a while, I sort of started talking to myself and say, you know, it's okay. I can just have one. And, you know, there was some drinks in the fridge at home and they've been sitting there forever. And yeah, it was about 11 o'clock at night. I went out in the shed to go measure something. There was a drink in the fridge and I thought, I'll just have one. And as soon as I had that one, the madness in my brain just started coming again. Just the craziness. Yeah. Oh, I've got to have the next one. I've got to hide the drink. Where are we going to put this if my wife gets up in the morning? Next thing I know, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. I've had two bottles of wine and a six pack of beer. So I drank everything in the fridge.
What was the wife's reaction?
She left the country for a few weeks. A week, yeah.
Because she needed to process, obviously, what had gone on.
It just instantly brought, I mean, utter disappointment and, you know, scared because you just didn't know how I was going to react. You know, sometimes, you know, I could be angry. I've never hit her or anything like that.
But,
you know, I could be angry but I went instantly into like a depression type thing. You know, I wanted them to get out of the place, get, you know, a week on my own to get myself right again. And
what do you do in that moment? Like for that week, do you go back to AA? Do you?
Look, honestly, the day before I drank, I was top of the world, you know, hitting the gym. Never felt so good in my life. Like life was just, you know, just brilliant. You know, no anxiety, no anything. And then I drank and the next probably 5 or 6 days, I went into a deep, deep depression. I was scared to leave the house. I thought everyone was talking about me, paranoid, all because of this one time I drank, you know, it was just incredible. The madness that it brought to me was, it just proved so many points that I'm definitely an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And it's.
So you might have needed that wake up call.
Yeah, it's definitely a good learning curve.
How do you know you're an alcoholic? Like, because I know I've heard back in the day, like, oh, if you have more than two drinks a day, you're an alcoholic. Is there a definition or does it come down, like you said, to your own?
It's for me, yeah. It was just, I mean, I'll stand out in front of bottlers for the waiting for them to open up. They're like, "Hey, Nick, you're welcome back. I was their best customer."
Well, that's probably alcoholic, you know? Isn't it, when you're waiting for them to open
up? Was towards the end, yeah. But I would wake up in the morning and say, you know, I'm not drinking today. And then by the end of the day, towards the start, I was at someone's house drinking I was looking for it.
Any excuse.
Nick, can I ask about something that affects me pretty badly? Hangovers. Yeah. Do you get hungover as an alcoholic, or do you just do that much damage to your body that you're just constantly either drunk or you just don't feel the hangovers?
Well, my relapse was one hell of a hangover.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that was that. I've never felt so bad in my life, like, because I've been living so clean for so long. But, you know, when I was drinking all the time, I would wake up drunk, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. Hangovers and stuff, not really.
Because you didn't have time to have hangovers.
That's really, like, whereas
I'd wake up in the morning and have a beer, yeah.
I'm out on Saturday. I'm in bed all day Sunday. So I couldn't possibly be an alcoholic because I just can't double up. But
you just needed to clarify that for your own self.
No, I was just thinking, like, well, man, never ever has a hangover. Never ever seen him have a hangover. But I'll have 10 beers with him and I'll be sick the next day.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing for me. I'd be hungover in the morning and I'm like, well, to feel better, I need to have the drink again.
Hair of the dog.
Hair of the dog. Every day. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, far out.
So if you pulled a beer out at a mate's place, would they have the balls to say, no,
they would,
Nick?
Slap it out of my hand.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Well, now they would think that I'm obviously offering now or handing the drink.
Yeah, go give me a beer, Nick.
Mate, what are you doing? Yeah.
Nick, thanks so much for your honesty, mate. It's fascinating and we really appreciate your time.
Awesome. No worries. It's great to be here. Thanks very much.
Catch up with Heidi, Xavier and Ryan on The Hitter. Download it today.
But right now,
our next guest is a comedian known for his quotes. Let me read one for you. If you're willing to give your life to defend my rights...
Halfway through that quote, I literally had to put a drill into my ear and remove part of my brain.
Yeah, it was probably for the best we left that quote unfinished. Please welcome Will Anderson.
Just try a little bit.
Will Anderson, thanks for joining us this morning.
Oh, good morning. It's good to be on the show.
Now, what were your thoughts as yesterday as the whole world looks to Singapore and sees one of the strangest meetings we've ever seen between the US President Donald Trump and the head of North Korea, Kim Jong-un? What were you thinking?
I liked it. I got to be honest with you. I think this is the right way to approach this sort of thing. I mean, to catch an idiot, you've got to use an idiot as bait. This is like a meeting of the idiots. I love it. It's Donald Trump. It's Kim Jong-un. There's Dennis Rodman there. It's less like an international meeting and more like audition process for I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. I really think it's great. I mean, essentially, to put this in Australian terms, Donald Trump taking Dennis Rodman over as an advisor is like Malcolm Turnbull going to the UN and taking Warwick the Wizard Kappa over as an advisor. So
true. Oh, what did you reckon about Trump's comments saying that he would know within 5 seconds what he was like as a character?
Yeah, well, of course he would. And then he'll change his mind and then he'll deny that he's ever met Kim Jong-un. And he said, I've never even been to Singapore. I don't know what you're talking about. It was a great meeting. I didn't say he'd get rid of his nukes. I've never even met the guy before. You know what he's like. He can just change his mind at any stage. My favourite thing is that he showed Kim Jong-un around his highly classified, secure limousine.
Yes.
Like, this is literally top secret. No one else is meant to see how it works. And he's just, like, showed Kim Jong-un how it works. Kim Jong-un, on the other hand, has taken his own car that he can go to the toilet in. Did you know this?
Yes, I saw that because he didn't want like security or like any security breaches or to people to record him or anything.
No, yeah, well, not just to record him, to be able to, like, you know, collect his waste and then, like, test it for diseases and DNA and all these sort of things, right? So he actually has his own car. He goes out into the car. He goes to the toilet in his own car. It's like the Pope-mobile, but it's the poop-mobile. And then they collect it up, and they're taking it back to North Korea. So that means it's somebody's job to guard Kim Jong-un's poop so that it isn't stolen by the CIA or whatever.
Wow.
And then they're gonna ship it back to North Korea, which I assume is, like, you know, you check that in. It's not hand luggage, right?
Now, what I got out of the whole meeting yesterday, Will, was Kim's hands have to be the smallest little stubby hands I've ever seen. Did you happen to notice his fingers?
I don't think Kim Jong-un is actually one person. I think Kim Jong-un is three people in a giant coat. Like, you know, and that's why his hands are so small. That's the problem. It's just the tiny little baby arms.
So what do you think will happen from here? Do you think the denying will continue, or do you think they'll be best mates and they'll be hanging out at Christmas? Like, what's next for these guys?
I mean, who knows what's next for these guys? Every day that these two guys are in the same room and the world isn't on fire is a victory for all of us.
Couldn't have said it better ourselves, Will. We bloody love you, mate. We'll see you tonight on Gruen.
Yep, 8:30 on the ABC. Thanks, Will. Appreciate your time, mate.
Cheers.
The Heidi, Xavier and Ryan catch up on Hit 92.9.
That Heidi, Xavier and Ryan catch up was for the epic new Optus prepaid plans.